Church, like, you know, it's 9 o'clock, but geez, I'm here. Hey, so happy to be with you guys. I was, wow, 90 years old, and then Billy's 80 years old today. So she told me she's going to Montana Club because you get 80% off on your 80th birthday. I am so looking forward to that. I can't wait till I'm 80 so I can go to Montana Club. No, that's exciting for all the birthdays and that looks great in the room, and so we're so pumped. I was kind of neat yesterday. I was telling some people, I said I finally ventured outside of Missoula yesterday for the first time, and I know none of you probably know the Lord of the Rings, but we drove past our exit, my wife and I, on 90, the one that we always get off in East Missoula. And we drove past it, and I looked at her, and I said, this is the farthest I've ever been out of the Shire. And she kind of laughed at me, and I said, this is crazy. And so we made the trek to the huge city of Sealy yesterday, and I mean, it was a metropolis, and but what a beautiful drive. And we were like, wow, this is what Montanans talk about. This is what they say is that, you know, there's beautiful places besides Missoula, right? And it was gorgeous. So it was nice to get out and do something a little different. My son had a basketball game, so that's why we were up in that different part of the country. And I still get blown away when I see teenage girls walk into the gym with cowboy hats and boots on, and I'm like, we are not in Kansas anymore. This is Montana. But no, it's great. So we enjoyed it, and hopefully you've all had a wonderful, wonderful weekend, and the weather doesn't know what it wants to do, but that's what they say about Montana, right? That you just never know what's going to happen. So, hey, we are on the midst of this 21-day challenge. I hope that if you haven't already, but you can grab a little calendar, that we've had prayer focuses every day of the week. This last week, we really focused a lot on CLC, on ourselves. We even got prophetic, believing and knowing that praying for people that God's going to bring to CLC. And really focusing on this 21 days of life change. And the same thing kind of continues today as I begin to just pray about, you know, what's the next step in this series of this life change? What would you, God, what would you have us do, say, over these next 21 days to focus ourselves and prepare ourselves for what God wants to do? I think it's no secret. I'm not trying to elicit a response from you, but the reality is I believe that God wants to use CLC. Amen. I hope that's where you guys believe as well, that God has plans, purpose, destiny for this church. And we've been very clear that the church is not the four walls, but the church is this family. And so, you know, I've been praying, like, God, you know, how do you want to position us as a church, as followers of Christ? How do you want to position us for what you have and whatever that might be? And so this morning, I want to talk to you about life change, and I want to talk to you about what I've entitled Hope Gives Hope. And I'll start off with this way. When I was a kid growing up in Florida, there was a part of our, we had grown up on a ranch, and then my dad decided to sell it all, and it wasn't his thing anymore. And so we went from two different drastics. We went from living out in the country, cows, horses, pigs, all the way to now we lived on a canal in Florida, right? On a rock yard. There was no grass, it was all rock on this canal. But what was really cool about this new change for us was right across the street from our house, we had lived on this busy road, but right across the street was this like place that if you walk back into this land about, you know, I don't know, half a mile, there was this thing we called Horseshoe Lake. And it was like this spring-fed lake that you could go swimming in, and you could jump off into the edges, and it was like a blast for my brothers and I to do this. So we would go to Horseshoe Lake all the time, ride our bikes back there in the middle of the woods, because it was in the middle of the woods. And I remember my parents would say to us, listen, you guys can't go there when you get home from school, because they didn't want us going down to the lake with no parents home. Like, they wanted to know that an adult was home. So they were like, you can't do that. But how many of you know we're kids, right? So we're like, what mom and dad don't know doesn't hurt them. And so we decided every day that we would sneak down and go swimming while they were at work, as soon as school got out. And I remember this one particular time, I think my dad was a detective, so he knew how to, like, get us. And so he knew that these kids are sneaking down. And I'm not going to ask them. I'm not going to hint at it. I'm just going to show up one day. So true story, we snuck down, my brothers and I, and all of a sudden you could hear, and my dad wasn't going to like drive up slowly, right? He was going to like make it like a surprise. And I will never forget my dad driving in this big truck and slamming on the brakes and the thing skidding, and he caught us. We were down swimming. But here's the funny thing. My brothers were on this side of the shore where the truck was. I was on the other side. So my dad is running out, and you guys, you know, see, we're old enough in this room to remember this, but my dad's running out with the belt coming out, right? Like, you could still hear it coming through the loops. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you, some of you have that traumatic where you hear that, you know what's happening. And I remember, like, this, I was sitting on the other side, and my brothers are there, my dad's running out, and you hear the, you know, coming out. And the only thing I can think of, they're up and out of the water before he could even touch them. Right? I'm on the other side. So they're gone. They're running. My dad's standing waiting for me. And all I could do is I'm swimming slowly across as I'm thinking to myself, you know, I'm thinking, man, this was supposed to be an adventure. I'm thinking to myself, how did I get here right now? You know, and I'm thinking, what am I thinking? And I remember trying to be strategic, like, which side of the bank can I get up where he can't get me, you know? But I was done. And so I'm climbing to the water, and as soon as I got, I mean, I'm getting the spank and running down the road. And here's the sad part about it. It's like when we got back to the house, then he took us in the room and he spanked them, us all again. But the problem was my brothers only got it once. I got it twice. Anybody ever been there when you have siblings? Like, why did I get it twice? And I should have already had mine. I've already done my thing. And that was the adventure I was on. But I say that to say, I always remember that story, not just because of the fear. I've never seen my dad that mad. But the fear was in his eyes. But for me, I was in the other side of the water while my dad's standing there, belt in hand. And all I could think of was like, at this moment, I am helpless and hopeless. In other words, there's nothing I can say or do to get me out of this situation. Nothing. I was stuck, and I'm here, and I had to deal with it. And for many people, we cross over now to 2022. We cross over to a new season, and or in some cases, we'll just say a whole new year of 2022, and we've crossed over, and we find ourselves many times, because that's what new seasons do, is they cause us to reflect, and we find ourselves confused, questioning, wondering. And again, new seasons, new years find us contemplating, you know, and we begin to say, you know, what have I done in my life? Does my life have meaning? Do I have value? And we begin this like review process. I mean, let's just say it's natural, but we have this review process with our lives and we're like, And I think maybe as followers of Christ, it's even more of an emphasis where we're like, you know, could I do more for God? Have I done enough for God? And we begin this review process. And here's what I know. I love this statement. Here's what I know. We feel hopeless when we're not making progress. We feel hopeless when we're not making progress. And why do I feel hopeless? Because I'm not going anywhere. I haven't made the progress that I've wanted to. And we feel like we're at the same place we've always been before. We wake up and we go, wow, I didn't move any farther away. Maybe you're in the room today. Maybe you're watching online and have you ever felt stuck? Like, have you ever felt like that hamster on the wheel? Like, it's just spinning? You know, and you ever watch that hamster and you're like, he thinks he's going somewhere. He is going nowhere. Like, that's how stupid this hamster is. But sometimes life is like that. Like, we feel like we're like this hamster on the wheel and we're going nowhere. And for others, it could be this constant anxiety of our world. I mean, let's face it, right? You turn on the TV and you're hit with it. And we feel this anxiety that everything's around us. And I gotta be honest, like, even as a pastor, like, you start to feel the weight of that. You start to feel the weight of the world and like all the pressures around you. And man, even as followers of Christ and people who love Jesus, let's face it, we begin to question. Like, where is God? And like, where's the hope? Like, there used to be hope in the world, and now our world just seems so hopeless. Like, it's just not there. And we begin to feel the same way. And many of us have lost that hope over this last year or before, and see the world around us as hopeless. And it makes us feel like, hey, not only are we hopeless, but we're helpless. And some of us this year, we've wrestled with loss. Let's just face it, maybe in your own personal life, you've had some loss over this last year or so, and you still haven't been able to come to terms with that. And it still weighs heavy on you, and it causes this helpless and hopeless. Some of us in the room are wrestling or have wrestled with some physical things, pain, bad prognoses, things that have not been good for you, and you're at a place where you're like, I just feel hopeless and helpless. Some of us have relationship issues. Let's face it, with whether it be personal or family, that no matter how hard you've worked to resolve these relationship issues, they just can't seem to be resolved. Some of us are so far behind financially. Like, we just feel like I can't seem to get my head above the water. Like, this debt is like this snowball and it's constantly chasing me. Ah! And every time you run from it, it just seems to get bigger and bigger and bigger in your life. Or maybe you're a Seahawks fan in here, and or a Giants fan like me, and it just seems hopeless. I'm just kidding. But we feel hopeless. Why? Because we're not making progress. Like, it feels like we're not going anywhere. And so, I want you to think, I want us to think that, man, my life matters, and that there's areas of my life, but in order for it to matter, it has to have progress. In fact, even in what we've been through the last few years, it's an alarming rate that studies say 1 out of 4 people are wrestling with mental health. Like, they just can't seem to put it together. And it's not even just the world. It's like followers of Christ. Because we're struggling with, like, where do we look around and we're discouraged. We look around and there's discontentment. We look around and there's unhappiness. And here's the reality of it all. The church is not immune to that. But it should be, but it's not. It's not immune to it. And we're like, you're probably saying to me, you know what, Pastor, this is real encouraging. I got up for this. But hear me today. This is why CLC was birthed. This is why Christian Life Center is here today, to offer hope in a helpless world. That's why this church was birthed. That's why we stand up here and say, you know what, that all Missoula would know Jesus. That's what CLC is for. Here's what I know and what we believe. There is hope, and hope has a name, and the name is Jesus. There is hope, and hope has a name, and the name is Jesus. It's no secret for some of you, Missoula is growing. Our surrounding areas are growing. People are coming here from all over the world, right? And we see it happen all around. The state, this huge state, is growing. People are moving here, whether you like it or not. They're coming. They're coming. They're growing. And the church was birthed. This church was birthed. I believe you were destined to be here for that reason. For the reason that we are here to bring hope to the helpless. We're here to bring hope to the hopelessness. And here's, I think, for us, kind of the mission of CLC is simply this. We want to love people to a growing relationship with Jesus. We want to love people to a growing relationship with Jesus. And shouldn't that be the heartbeat of the church? And it comes down to, I think, as we seek God, it comes down to two things that our church and our community needs. They need hope and they need healing. Our church today and our community needs hope. And some of you even here need hope and you need healing. So I begin to pray and I'm like, you know, God, I sit and have these conversations with my wife, Kim, and I said, I just can't seem to shake the word hope. I said, but then I also can't seem to shake the word healing. Like, some of us in the room, or maybe the second service or online, we've been followers of Christ for so many years. You would probably say, some of you in this room, you were born here. You can point the spot where you threw up or the point where you met your girlfriend. You know what I mean? You can point those places out. And yet, there's still a need of healing in your life. Like, there still needs to be healing. And what is the biggest thing that we can do as followers of Christ to meet these two needs of hope and healing? Well, here's what I think. For years, I've coached my son in football and lacrosse. From the time he was, like, first grade, I would coach him in football. And then I got snaggled into coaching lacrosse, which I knew nothing about lacrosse. So I'm, like, out there going, what do I do? And now all these years later, I've coached him all the way through. But what I always knew about coaching was, especially with the little kids, is like whenever we were in a game and there was this one kid that was always, he at that day showed up and he was scoring or he was running faster or he was doing something else, we would always say, get that kid the ball because he's hot. Here's a streak in him. He's going to score. Here's our strategy today. Get that kid the ball. Like all game plans has gone out the window. Get that kid the ball. Why? Because you know what? There was something unique about him. There was he was in the game and it was working. And that's why I think when I look at the 21-day challenge and the life challenge for us is that, you know, we've got to keep doing what works. And maybe what works is, or, well, there's no maybe to it. What works is prayer. What works is fasting. What works is not forsaking being together. Maybe what works is worship. Maybe what works is being a place for families to come and find healing and hope. Maybe what works is to be community and world-minded. And here's the truth. When people are experiencing healing, guess what happens? Hope. When people are experiencing healing, they find hope. My challenge to you, Christian Life Center, is let's be a place that brings hope and healing to our world. Let's be a place, like I want people to walk through our, into our very Missoula cafe area, our very Montana fireplace. I want people to walk in and instantly feel like this is a place of healing. This is a place of hope. Because the reality is, and maybe at some point you've lost focus of that, but the reality is, I believe somebody in this room at some point walked through a door and found healing and hope. And it changed your life. I mean, you wouldn't be here today if at some point along your journey with Christ, you didn't find healing and hope. And so why would we want to hang on that to ourselves? We want to offer that same healing and hope. My challenge is that this would be a place that brings healing and hope. And as you engage with Christ, the more of these things become a reality, right? And as we engage with Christ, the things that have slowed our progress begin to fall off of us. And there's like this freedom that comes and hope becomes a reality because we are experiencing wholeness and healing. So what if we were a church full of believers who walked full of hope because they walked in the healing power of Jesus Christ? Like, hopefully you get up every day and you're like, thank you, Jesus, because it's the healing power that allowed me to wake up this morning. It's the loud thing that allowed me to get in my car and drive here today. And then that same hope, what I love about it, when we're full of that hope and that healing and like, man, we're so excited of what God's done in us, it becomes contagious and it spills out to others in our communities. In fact, we could be a church, I love this phrase, we could be a church of hope dealers. Come on, that's funny. Right? We could be a church of hope dealers that everywhere we go, we're offering hope. You know, it's the, and hope's not about having the answers, right? Because we always, everybody wants the answers. We don't always have the answers, but what we do have is hope. We have hope that I don't have the answers, but I know somebody who does. Hope is like, I can't always bring comfort to your life, but I know someone who can. Like hope is the thing where it's like, I can't fill the void and the emptiness that you might have, but I know someone who can do that. That's what hope dealing is all about. We want to be a place that when you need hope, you can come to this church. You can come to Christian Life Center. You can come be a part of this community and you will find hope. See, I believe that God's desire would be that CLC is a church that when people walk in, they feel welcomed. That when people walk in, they experience the love of Jesus. That when people walk in, they see someone here that is different. In fact, I love this, that this is a place that people will, you can come in and we will sit in the dirt with you. We'll sit in the dirt with you. We'll get in the world with you. I remember a few years ago at our church, we in our youth ministry, we had a young lady who had gone to school for theater makeup, gone to college for theater. So she was phenomenal, like the things she could do to transform someone. And so our associate pastor at our church said, hey, I want to do a message on hope and love or whatever. And he goes, I need your help. And so she literally changed his appearance. And he looked like a homeless, like just down and out guy. And he sat himself on a Sunday morning outside the church property and asked for help. And luckily it was a few of the teenagers that brought him over McDonald's and stuff like that. But then he, you know, there was, didn't say that people didn't help him, but then when it came time to preach, he walked out on stage dressed as that person. And people were like, oh, that was the guy that was sitting in the, you know, they were kind of taken back. a little bit. They're like, oh my gosh, it's Pastor Ross dressed up as this dude. But it changed the perspective for them. They saw something different and there was like, wow, I want to be a place that we're willing to sit in the dirt with people. Ready to get into their mess and say, okay, how can we help you and how can we walk alongside you? I want us to be a church that will walk with difficult situations with others, a people that serve and are filled with love and hope, a place where you can be authentic. So let's be honest. If we continually hide the broken places in our lives, we will never find hope and healing. And that's what the church is about. God's about coming in, right, and exposing us and saying, hey, you've got areas of your life that need healing and need help. And so we want to be a church that makes a difference in people's lives by bringing hope and healing. And so what if we took that hope and that healing and just didn't keep it to ourselves, but we say, hey, we've experienced some really incredible things in our lives, so we're going to take this hope and healing that we have, and we're going to take it to the workplace, and we're going to take it to our schools, and we're going to take it to our families, and we're dealing hope all across our community. We're dealing hope all across our community. We're dealing love and healing all across our community. Because here's what I know. We can't give, get this statement, we can't give what we don't have. We can't give what we don't have. If we don't have hope, then how can we give hope? So this morning as I talk to you, yes, it's about hope for the world, but I'm hoping that when we leave here today, you have hope. And you might say, oh, you're crazy, Pastor Heath, man. I'm a seasoned follower. I know what hope is. I have hope. And I would just say to you, do you? Do you really have hope? Like, do you ever question? Do you ever wonder what's going on? Or do you really have hope? Because I want to talk to you about what hope really, really, really means. Here's what I know. We can't give what we don't have. We must have hope to give hope. So how do we deal with this hopeless problem? Well, listen, I'm going to read to you out of Hebrews chapter 6 this morning real quickly. Probably a familiar scripture for many of you, but Hebrews chapter 6. Let me start real quick at verse 19, and this is what it says. He goes, we have this hope. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Let me read that again. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. We'll talk about that in just a moment, but here, let's break this down just for a minute. Hope is the feeling of expectation or of a desire for something to happen. That's what hope is. It's like this desire, it's this feeling for something to happen. It's what we look forward to. It's hope. It's the thing of the future. It's we're putting our hope and our trust that keeps us moving. It's what we're passionate about. It keeps us going. Right? You ever seen the old cartoon? I love where the dude's on the horse and he's got a stick with a carrot on the end of it. You know what I'm talking about? And he makes that horse will keep moving because he's hoping that I'm gonna get that carrot. And that's what hope does. It's like we might not obtain it, we might not get it, but I'm moving toward it. I'm walking toward that hope that's out there. I'm trying to find it. I'm trying to get my hands on it. And that's kind of what it's talking about. It's keeping us moving. It's where we've been on this adventure and things are moving forward and hope pushes us forward to give us the strength to keep going. It's this feeling, this desire, this expectation, this belief that something good is going to happen, that there is hope. And hope is the one thing that we can't live without. You know that? You're around somebody who says, you know, I've just given up hope. When you get to that place where you say, I've just given up hope, that's when you're done. You have to have hope to live. You have to. We have to have hope, something to hold on to when the waves of life are crashing in. There has to be something that sustains us and grounds us. And it's more than just a thing we hold on to, right? We have to hold on to someone. And hope for us is holding on to the name of Jesus, that he is that anchor for us. And so this morning, real quick, I believe there are three kinds of hope that I want to share with you real quick. I think number one, there's this, what we call wishful hope. You know what wishful hope is? You know, that's like the one where you pull the quarter out of your pocket and you go to the fountain. You're like, boom, you know, and you're like, well, I make a wish. And then there's like this wishful hope. And that kind of hope is like, well, we hope that it'll come true. It's a wishful type of hope. And then there's a second type of hope we call an expectant hope, right? This, the hope that says like, you know, if I work real hard, I'll get the raise. I'm expected to have the raise at work. That kind of hope says, you know, I expect, and I'm looking forward to this one right here, but I expect spring to come. Whew, Lord, I'm hoping spring comes. After this crazy, My wife and I are at home like, the Montana people lied to us, you know. They said, oh, it doesn't snow a lot, you know. I'm like, liar. But they're like, so we're like, we have this expectant hope that spring's gonna come. It's crazy weather, but we're expecting that springtime will come. We expect to put the dishes in the dishwasher and that when we finish it, they come out, they're clean. Maybe they don't always come out clean, but that's what we expect. We expect them to come out clean. We expect that if I eat good and I exercise, everything will go great. I'll live a healthy life. And so we have this expectant hope. But then there's this third type of hope. It's called hope in God's word. Hope in God's word. This is not the what if type of hope. This isn't like the expectant hope. This is the hope that says, I'm connecting my life to something that's beyond me. This is the kind of hope that says, I'm connecting my life to something that does not move. Amen. This is the kind of hope that says, I'm connecting my life to something that is foundational, something that is eternal. The scripture says, hope is the anchor for our soul, for our soul. This hope is certainly in God's promises. It's a certainty in God's promises that he will do what he says he's going to do. It's putting our hope in him. I remember when Braden was younger, I don't know, do you guys have, or you ever heard of Chuck E. Cheese? Okay, just making sure, because I haven't seen one here. But Chuck E. Cheese. When my son was younger, he loved Chuck E. Cheese. I couldn't figure it out, right? Because I'm like, dude, Chuck E. Cheese, let's face it, right? It's nothing but a crooked rat and a casino for kids. That's all it is. It's what it is. It's a crooked rat and a casino for kids. And he would get so excited, like, I want to go to Chuck E. Cheese. You know, and so it would become close to his birthday, and he said, Dad. And I'd say, all right, for your birthday, son, it's coming up in a week. We're going to take you to Chuck E. Cheese. Ah, you know, he's so excited. He's going crazy. He's so, I mean, it was uncontainable, the joy that's in him. You know, and I'm like, what is, and I thought about this, and what is he putting his hope in? What is he putting his hope in? He's putting his hope in that his dad would do what he said he would do. Are we there yet? I mean, it was a week away. We're not at Chuck E. Cheese yet, but he is so excited because he's trusting in the word of his father, that his father says, I'm going to take you to Chuck E. Cheese. And I did several times, Lord. But that's what hope is. Hope is like we're looking towards something with belief and surety that is going to happen. What is your hope in? Again, listen to what it says here in verse 19. We have this hope, an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. We have this hope, this anchor for our soul that is firm and secure. Now, when we look at an anchor, and guess what? You would probably not know this. I have an anchor today. I brought one with me. Actually, I borrowed one, so I have to make sure it gets back. But I brought an anchor with me. What does an anchor, I mean, what does it do? What does an anchor do? It does a couple things. Probably the most important thing that an anchor does for us is it keeps us from drifting. It keeps us from drifting. Now, an anchor doesn't stop the waves, right? It doesn't stop the storms. It doesn't stop hard times. What it does stop is it keeps us from drifting. It keeps us from crashing against the rocks. It keeps us from failing and falling apart. If we aren't anchored, guess what? We drift. We move away. But the anchor has a way of holding us in place. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about. You have an anchor for your soul. It's firm. It's secure. You can hold on to it. And so I'd say to you, how many of us, and this is what happens, that's why it's so important, this hope, to give hope, is that even as followers of Christ, we are prone to drift. And how many of us maybe have drifted, right? Maybe we've drifted from who God's called us to be. Maybe we've drifted from the plans that God has for us. Why? Because we're not anchored. We're not anchored. Or more importantly, maybe we've anchored ourselves to the wrong things. Maybe we've anchored ourselves to the wrong things. Something I love about anchors that's amazing, if you don't know anything amazing about anchors, is that when a storm is coming and the winds begin to blow and the waves get bigger, their anchor automatically lines the boat to face the storm. The anchor, no matter which way the boat is, wherever the waves go, the anchor will always line the boat to face the storm. I mean, shouldn't that be kind of like counter? Like, why would you want to face the storm? But there's something about the anchor that secures the boat to face the storm. Listen to me, Jesus lines us in a way to face the storms. He gives us hope. And we can be firm, and we can be sure that no matter what we face, our boats are not going to capsize. Our lives are not going to capsize. The only way they capsize is when they're not tied to the anchor. But when our lives and our churches, we're tied to the anchor of God, we are not going to capsize. And when the rough times come and the waves hit us, we can have peace of mind knowing that Hebrews tells us, hey, our anchor is firm. Our anchor is secure, right? So when we face the storms, when we have Christ on our sides, we're like, bring it on. You know what I mean? Come on, I'll take it. Whatever you have, you know, life, throw whatever you want at me. I'm anchored to Jesus Christ. I'm anchored to his life, and you can't throw anything at me that's gonna shake me. You can't throw anything at me that's gonna cause me to lose hope that Jesus is on my side and that Jesus is with me. Why? Because we're anchored in Christ, and he is an ever-present help in time of need. He's an ever-present help in time of need. Hear me, our culture has anchored itself to the wrong things. You know, if I put my anchor in my money in a bank account, guess what? Banks fail all the time. Some of us put our anchor and put our lives into our career, thinking the career is our anchor. The career is the thing that will hold us together. Jobs come and go. Maybe we're anchored to a person and we think, well, this person's gonna offer security. This person's gonna offer us hope. But the truth is, everything in life is always shifting. Do you know that? Everything is always shifting. And if we're not anchored to the right thing, guess what we're gonna do? We're gonna drift. If we're not anchored to the right thing, we're gonna be hopeless and helpless. Who are you anchored to? Who's your trust in? Who do you put all your hope in? Listen, I think this, we've come through a crazy, crazy 2 years. As a church, we've come through crazy 2 years. As a society, as a world, we've come through a crazy 2 years. And listen, we've just come through that those 2 years like crazy, and now we're entering 2022. And guess what? We have no clue what 2022 is gonna happen. Like, we have no clue. We have no clue. But here's what's awesome, and here's what I do know. It doesn't really matter if we're anchored to the truth. It doesn't really matter. If we're anchored to the truth, then who cares what 2022 is gonna throw at us? Because we're anchored to God, and it says that he is firm and that he is secure. If we're anchored to the truth, we're gonna be smashed around and we're gonna be faced some tough times, but then guess what? The rocks won't hurt us. The storms won't defeat us because we're secured and we're anchored. We're always anchored. Listen, if we're anchored to the truth, it's an amazing, amazing thing. But here's one thing I do know about anchors. Like, you ever notice that when you go to the water and you go to the anchor, usually you're dropping it into water that you can't see the bottom. You ever notice that? Like, it's not like you go, okay, look, hey, you know what? There's a great spot right there. Maybe that's true sometimes, but for the most time, we just drop the anchor in some water we can't see the bottom, just trusting that, guess what? The anchor's gonna grab and the anchor's gonna hold. And maybe that's what God has for our church, is like, look, hey, I have some places I wanna send you. I have some places I'm gonna take you, but you're just gonna have to trust me. And you know, you're not gonna see the bottom of the water. You're not even gonna see the path, but if you just put your anchor down on me and you just anchor to me, I promise you, I will take care of you. I will lead you, I will guide you, I'll take you where you need to go. Because here's this, storms reveal what we're anchored to. You ever notice that? Like, when you go through a rough time and you're facing storms, that's when it always comes out to say, who is this person really anchored to? And I think God's saying, CLC, you might not always know the plans, you might not always see everything, but I'm asking you to drop your anchor in me and be secure and stay close to me. And when you stay secure to me, yes, you're gonna face storms and you're gonna face some uncertainties, but the reality is your hope will always outweigh those things. Your trust in me will always outweigh those things, and I'll be able to lead you and guide your life. Many people say, my life is up and down. I cannot find peace. And I always say, my look back to them, what I wanna say to them is, because you're anchored to the wrong thing. Because maybe you're just anchored to the wrong thing. Listen, I love the verse of the scripture. If you read on to me, it'll be on the screen. Again, he says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. He has become high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. You're like, wow, that's kind of like, what's going on here? Listen, Hebrews tells us, we know that in the temple there was the Holy of Holies, right? And it was the one place that the priest could go in, and only the priest could do it, right? Because that's where the presence of God was, and that priest better make sure his life was lined up with God. But it was the one place he could go in and make atonement for you, and he could meet with God on your behalf. And so that was the only person that could enter into those Holy of Holies. But man, now we find out that we have this high priest who went to a cross and he died. And it's very simple, right? We know that when he died, the veil was rent. And it was a symbol that no longer does someone have to go meet with God for you, but you can meet with God yourself. Like, you could have this presence with God, this one-on-one relationship tied into him together. No longer do you need anyone else to do that. The scripture is putting this, now you have this hope. Now you have this assurance that it's no longer temporary or no longer dependent upon somebody else, but that you can walk in and you can personally tie yourself to Jesus and say, he's my anchor. He's my high priest. I don't have to have anyone else do this for me. I can put my hope in him myself. I can have communication with him myself. And regardless of what happens to you yesterday, regardless of what's gonna happen of you today, regardless of what's gonna happen tomorrow in this world, it doesn't matter as long as we're anchored to the high priest. The one that you have relationship. Because when we're anchored to something beyond this world, it makes a whole big difference. Okay, how different our lives would be if we understood who we live for. People will ask, you know, how did you handle that situation, so-and-so? Hey, Christian Life Center, you know, how did you guys weather that storm? You know why? It's because we were anchored. We were anchored to God. We were anchored to something that's unmovable. We were anchored to something that was unshakable. And because of that, we were able to withstand the storm. Being anchored doesn't mean life won't have storms. Like I said before, it doesn't mean that you won't get tossed from time to time. But Jesus says this, I've overcome the world. So put your trust in me. Put your trust in me. Who are you anchored to this morning? Who have we been anchored to? I think these last years and months have revealed a lot of who we're anchored to. We're either anchored to something that's eternal or we're anchored to something that's temporary. But here's what I know. God is calling CLC to bring hope and healing. God is calling you to bring hope and healing to our world, to your families. But here's the reality. I'll say it again. We have to have hope to give hope. We have to have hope to give hope. So my challenge to you is this. Imagine what could happen if we were a church filled with people who truly lived that out in our lives, that we truly anchored ourselves to Christ, that he was our hope. We didn't put our trust in anything else but him, and our hope was in him and everything that we did. And see, I love the New Testament, right? Because these guys, they were faced with storms all the time. We know this about the early church, but they were so anchored to God. That you'd have this culture going this way, and then you see these early church followers who are so counterculture, who went against so much of what the culture said they needed to do, and they simply could do that because they were anchored. They were anchored to God, and yet it didn't make them weird necessarily. It didn't. You know what it did? It did the opposite effect. People looked at them and said, hey, what you have, I want. What you're experiencing, I want to experience. What you've seen, I want. You know, I want that peace in my life. Again, how can anyone do life without Jesus Christ? I don't know how you do life without Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what was happening in this earth. It was so attractive that the world says, I want to be a part of that. And I think as followers of Christ, we got to get to the place where like, hey, listen, what we have is attractive. What we have is assurance. What we have is contagious. The world needs the hope that we have to offer. And it doesn't have to be one of those things where people are turned off. In fact, I think people are attracted to those who are committed to Christ because they see what's going on. I remember, and I'll close with this, but I remember a few years ago, I went to took a group of seniors to a whitewater rafting trip to West Virginia. So I show up here, we're in West Virginia, and we show up in the morning to go with this company to go whitewater rafting. And literally, these dudes were coming out of the hills. And they would show up for this company, and they would be the guides. They didn't work for the company. They were just locals who said, hey, I know how to do a raft. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Whoa. Like this. So we ended up getting this guy in our raft. And he was very West Virginia, and he's like, all right. That's exactly how he talked. All right, now here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna tell you to paddle. And when I scream paddle, you better paddle. Because if you don't paddle, we're gonna end up in a drink. That's what they called it. And I'm like, okay. So we start on this ship, and this guy's like, all right, I need you to, and he's really gruff, and he's like, and I'm sitting there going, wow, this is supposed to be fun, right? And so the next thing we get to this white water raft, and he starts screaming, paddle, paddle, paddle. He's screaming at us, left, right, front, oh my, you gotta paddle. And like, and I'm sitting there going, I'm on vacation, you know, and I'm like, this is supposed to be fun. This is, what do you, you know, and I'm like, this was the worst experience of my life, you know, and like, this guy had me like, we're gonna die if you don't paddle, the whole slope's gonna flip, we're gonna flood. I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like, I paid for this, you know, and he was so intense. And every time we'd make it through, he'd be like, good job, y'all paddled. That's his favorite word, you paddled. And I would sit there just like catching my breath, like, I don't know, this isn't fun to me. Then we hit the next one, paddle, 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 and you know, and one of our guys almost fell out, and I see the guy grabs and he pulls him back in, and it's like, at the end of the whole thing, I was like, this was not fun. There was no hope in this. I felt helpless the whole time. I thought I was gonna die. And I'm like, I'll never do this again. And that's exactly my point, is that we get someplace and we can't give hope unless we have hope. And I'm sitting there going like, there's nothing, this is hopeless. And this is helpless. I'm still alive, I made it through it. But I wanna encourage you today, is like, there are times in our life when we have no other answer but to paddle. We have no other answer but to hang on to the anchor and just say, listen, we gotta weather this thing. We gotta weather this thing, because if we weather it, we come out the other side, not giving glory to our names, but giving glory to the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. That's what it's really about. Hope is not about me. Hope is not coming out and going, give me a medal because I anchored myself to God and I made it through the storm. That's not what it's about. It's about showing the world that, listen, there is an anchor out there, and it is solid, and it is secure, and it is firm. So if I want to give you, as I just close in prayer in a moment, two application points that I would say for us this morning, I would ask you to do this. Can we take time this week? We're focusing on prayer. We're fasting. We're challenging. Can you take time this week and ask yourself this? What am I anchored to right now? Maybe, again, maybe in the room you're anchored to your 401k. You're anchored to your home, your job, your family. Maybe you're anchored to your bank account. But what are you truly anchored to? Like, ask yourself that question. And then you would say, I would say this other application point. What do I need to change to be filled with hope? What do I need to be changed to be filled with hope? Because hear me, I'm going to say this last thing. I think if I went around the room and I took a poll, every one of us in the room would say, yeah, I have hope. But then I would also say, but do you really have hope? Are there times when you're like, I have hope right now because everything's good. But what about when the storm of life comes? Do you really have hope? So ask yourself, what do I need to change to be filled with hope? And then I would say, not only do I need to change, but what do I need to do to be an example of hope? Be an example of hope. And then the second last point of application, and Pastor Steve, I don't know if we want to sing a song or something, but this last point of hope application I would say is, what can I do? What can I do or give to my church that adds to the ability to give hope? Like, what can I do to give to my church to add to the ability for it to give hope? You know, maybe it's, hey, I just need to serve in a certain area. I need to invite a friend. I need to be more vocal about what happens at my church or how someone can find hope. But maybe we could ask ourselves, what role can I play here at Christian Life Center so that we can give hope to the world? Listen, it's no secret. There's things we wanna do at Christian Life Center. You know, we're looking to hire youth ministries and children's ministry pastors. And you know what? Those are families need hope. And we're gonna need people in our church that says, listen, I feel like I could plug in a place to offer hope to our world. Like, we need to be that machine that when people walk in, there's like, there's a place for you. There's someone here who's willing to get dirty with you. There's someone here who's willing to empathize with you. There's someone here who's willing to be show you the same hope that they have. I mean, how cool to be like, symbolically, you know, we're all walking around with anchors. Because here's the other thing I know about anchors, right? Some people like to become their own anchors. My hope is filled, right, you know, with, because I got my own anchor. As long as I take my life in my own control, I'm good, right? That's why I told you guys before, like, I don't mind flying, but I want to know that those pilots look educated, you know? I want to know that they look like they got a good night's sleep because I like to be in control. And sometimes we treat ourselves that way, but how many of you know an anchor is useless when it's sitting on the boat? An anchor doesn't serve its purpose or its function when it's sitting on the boat. The anchor serves its function when it's actually anchored. And you can't become your own anchor. But how cool would it be is like a church of people that walk around totally and completely anchored in Jesus. Totally anchored in his security and his firmness to say, hey, listen, everywhere I go, I'm anchored in God. I'm walking in Shields. Guess what? You can buy one of these in Shields, by the way, if you want. But wherever you go, the anchor goes with me. When I get in my car, guess what? I'm anchored. When I go to church, I'm anchored. When I walk into my workplace, I'm anchored. When I walk into with my family, I'm anchored. And more, how great is that this church is a representation of people who have decided to put their hope in Jesus Christ, decided to anchor themselves in the one firm and secure foundation. As I close with this thought, how many know there's a world out there that's anchored themselves to so many things? But the Bible only says there's one thing that's eternal. There's only one thing that's really secure and firm, and his name is Jesus. Father, worship you today. God, I thank you for your church. I pray, God, that you'd bring hope to us today. Lord, this today is not an indictment on your church in any way. What today is a reminder. Lord, it's not about what we've done wrong. This is a reminder of what to do right. And that's just to anchor ourselves in you. It's a simple message, simple truth. But sometimes we just need to be reminded that our hope is in you. It's not in all the other things out there that say, put your hope in this, put your hope in this, put your hope in this. Ultimately, when the storm is in the midst of us, God, we are anchored in you. We're pointed to you. So my prayer today for Christian Life Center, God, is that we would just be a church that is filled with the desire to make you famous. That God, we're filled with the desire that your name would be lifted up beyond all things, beyond ourselves, beyond our own accolades, in spite of our own successes, that God, we are not anything unless we're anchored in you. And so today, God, I pray that you would convict our hearts, God, to put our hope in you, to anchor our lives to you. So the ones in here, together, God, that have felt lost this year, for the ones in here that are confused or sometimes maybe even feel filled with anxiety and worry, maybe even for the ones in here, God, that are experiencing physical challenges and prognoses. God, may we anchor ourselves in you and know, God, that as we are anchored in you, God, you will bring that peace and you will bring assurance to where there's helplessness. So God, help us to have hope so that we can give hope. In Jesus' name. Pastor Steve's gonna lead us real quick. Amen.
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Amen. Make that your prayer today. Lord, I pray blessings upon your people. Pray you go before them. May your face shine upon them. May you provide for them. May you keep them. And Lord, more than anything else, may we walk out of here with the assurance that you are our hope, our secure and firm foundation. So Lord, I pray encouragement would be in this room today and help us to be a light to our community and to our world, that they can have this same hope that we sing about today, this same firm foundation that we talk about this morning. So I pray your blessing upon us as we take these next days and we're focusing on prayer. God, may you speak to your church. May you speak to your people clearly. And may there be, again, an assurance in each and every one of our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please make efforts to be with us tomorrow night. We'd love to have you here as we just take 45 minutes to pray together. God bless you.